Friday, welcome back. It's good to have you here. We appreciate each and every one of you. The YouTube live chat poll for today, which of the cast's favorite Christmas movies is the best? Now, I think it's important. People are saying, you forgot this movie, you forgot that movie, you forgot to put Die Hard on this list. Ugh. That'll be for later. We'll do the Die Hard thing later. These are our favorite Christmas movies. So Brad, Ryan, Ethan, and myself all picked our own Christmas movies and put them in a list. And we just want to know, which do the Annie Fry Show audience agree the most with? Is it Home Alone, A Christmas Story, Christmas Vacation, or It's a Wonderful Life? So just to be clear, we're asking you, of these four movies, which is the best? Not is the best one in our list. But feel free to argue with us in the chat.
Yeah, you can post what yours is. We're just asking, when you vote, you're picking between four.
Yes.
Our four.
In the midst of that, we have the Brendan Kelly press conference that took place regarding the just absolute tragic death of Colin Brown, that hockey player who was gunned down on the highway. Let's listen into this from the Illinois State Police press conference.
When there is such a senseless, unfathomable loss of life, there must be an answer for it. And the officers of the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department, they have answered. And the circuit attorney has answered. Our partners in other law enforcement agencies and our federal brothers and sisters from those federal agencies, they also have answered. So we are grateful for that.
Well, I know that a lot of people were wanting to get some sense of closure in the situation. It was such an incredibly sad, sad thing to watch a 16-year-old lose his life in this manner in St. Louis. And, I am disgusted with how unsafe St. Louis is, because I also know how amazing St. Louis is. I know how strong of a city, how great of a city St. Louis is, but we don't put our best foot forward when it comes to protecting it. So as individuals, the three of us come downtown every day. On any given day, what do you see? And I'm talking like between 8 a.m. and noon.
Well, yeah, of course we're going to see homeless people, but I think what stands out the most to me is just the empty buildings. That's so sad.
Because
either they once were operational businesses and they were closed by COVID and then they had to put boards over the windows, or nobody's occupied these places for a long time.
But the point is that those businesses are not functioning businesses downtown St. Louis, because between 8 a.m. and noon, when you're driving into work or going to lunch or whatever, you're stepping over people who are cracked out of their minds, high on some sort of drugs, walking up to you on the street trying to ask you for money, people sleeping and peeing and pooping. I mean, literally outside our window, we watched a man poop.
Mm-hmm.
In the shadow of Soldiers Memorial and the St. Louis Public Library, we watched a man poop on a tree right out here. And it was just a Tuesday.
It's so weird, too, because you've probably been, if you're in St. Louis, you've seen these famous buildings. Soldiers Memorial is right outside our window.
Beautiful.
There's a gorgeous park in front of it. It is an amazing-looking building. If you've ever been inside, it's also just a fantastic visit. But there, it's like the weird reverse poetry of somebody taking a dump in a beautiful park outside of a beautiful building, and it just being normal is so bizarre and dystopian.
On the south side of Soldiers Memorial, one time when we were upstairs on the 22nd floor of the building for something, I was just looking outside, and I watched this man walk from the south side of our building across the street into the south side of Soldiers Memorial. Beautiful water fountain, water feature out in front, which, having gone to Washington, D.C., I learned about all the different ways that water represents things when it comes to how the water is presented. Is the water tumultuous? Is it still? Because that signifies death. Does it move? Does it translate from tumultuous to still? Whatever. I watch this guy walk from in front of our building across the street and bathe in the water fountain out front. Took his clothes off, changed his clothes, did his laundry in that, and it was probably 11 a.m.
Did you say this was at the St. Louis Public Library?
This one was in front of the Soldiers Memorial on the other side.
Oh, because I've seen them do that too at the library.
Where the water?
I don't just like gathered water. I don't think it was intended.
No, they were in the fountain.
Oh, gosh.
I have it on video.
No,
I couldn't believe it. And I thought if I explain this to people who don't come downtown anymore, that they wouldn't believe me. But this guy, Colin Brown, child, 16-year-old hockey player, gunned down on 55. It's an unbelievable story. KMOX reports that 26-year-old man has been charged in relation to the killing and death of 16-year-old CBC student and hockey player Colin Brown. Garrett Jordan, 26, is charged Friday with first-degree murder, 2 counts of armed criminal action, unlawful use of a weapon, and assault. Brown was shot and critically injured while riding in an SUV with his father at I-55 and Bates Avenue. St. Louis City police say it happened around 10:30 p.m. on Saturday, November 23rd. Police say the father continued to drive and stopped at 4th and Walnut, where police and EMS met him. Brown died on Wednesday, shot on Saturday, died on Wednesday with his organs donated to other patients. According to the probable cause statement, Jordan followed and fired at a separate victim in another vehicle who was entering I-55 from Minnesota Avenue. The probable cause statement also says Jordan previously spent time in federal prison and was recently released months ago. Jordan has been arrested by police after police traced his phone's location data to the scene of the crime, according to court documents. St. Louis Metropolitan Police have scheduled a press conference that was given today, and that was part of the clip that we provided for you.
Follow me here. I just saw about an hour ago, Karl Rove was on Fox News doing his little whiteboard thing. And he had some stats, and we weren't listening because we were on the air, but he had some stats on there. And one of them was business owners who feel more optimistic about the economy now. And it was like 50-something percent. Mm-hmm. And then below that, it was business owners who are going to invest more in employees, invest more in their business. All the percentages were up, 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 of course. Donald Trump has not even taken office yet. People are willing to begin looking at maybe investing more. They're optimistic because of messaging, because they've seen what Donald Trump does, and they know what he's going to do because he messages that's what he's going to do. So much of crime could be solved by messaging that they're not going to allow it. Following through with it, certainly. But go out there and say, at least, even if your resources are depleted, and whatever you're cutting here and you're cutting there, go out and put on a public facade that you're going to be hard on crime. It goes a long way.
Yeah. Oh, I could go on forever about it. If I became the governor of Illinois, I would immediately court as many business people as I possibly could to come right here across the river in East St. Louis and say, oh, blue city St. Louis in a red state, we're gonna put a red city in our blue state right across the river on the east side, and we're going to dwarf St. Louis in business opportunity on the east side. Let's go. How much better would that be for the city of St. Louis? They'd have to compete. They'd have to care. That was if I were the governor. I want to talk about Caitlin Clark, and if there are more details that come up with the Colin Brown death, we will definitely go to it. It's a tragic story here in St. Louis, and it's really frustrating to continue on with these stories of people who are repeat offenders who are hurting people. So we'll get back to that story if more information arises. Scott Jennings, who is just been doing his Scott Jennings things here lately, was talking on CNN about the Caitlin Clark situation.
Why is she being bullied for acknowledging something that's smart, truth, and factual?
Well, a couple things. Number one, whether you're an athlete or anyone else, if I hear you use the phrase my truth, I immediately then discount everything else you say, because there isn't my truth or your truth. There's just the truth. And when you start using phrases like that, it tells me that your brain has been captured by something that I don't really respect.
Or lived experience.
Number two. The attention the league got this year was amazing, and it was all because of her. She is an amazing player. The arenas were full when she played in them. The TV ratings were up when she was on television. That's undeniable. But, the league still lost like $40 million this year. And it's never made money. And to me, when you're talking about having respecting people who built something. What did they build? A league that loses money every year? She has the capacity.
What do you mean,
what did they build? What kind of a business did they build?
The reason why it's still up and still running, whether it's losing money or not, is because of these black women who are in this.
Wasn't it because of the investors?
No, stop it.
I was in Dickie's arena.
Who pays for it?
It says more about the people who are getting offended by it than her.
I think they're just disappointed that she appears to have been captured by the woke mob.
I feel
a little bad for her because she's going to learn that it will never be enough. No matter how much of the phrasing, no matter how much of the groveling you do, it will never be enough for the people in that league that hate her guts.
Why do you assume that she is trying to pander?
I hear the language of the pander. I hear the phrase white privilege. Sports is the one place where nobody on the field has any privilege at all. She doesn't get extra points when she shoots because she's white. She gets the same number of points as anybody else. Sports is the great equalizer, and it just felt like to a lot of people that she was groveling for no reason because she is an amazing player who deserves all the accolades she's getting right now for doing what she's doing for women's basketball.
So CNN and having this conversation, good for them for having the conversation and continuing to keep Scott Jennings in the conversation, because I just literally saw within the last 24 hours that the Food Network beat CNN.
Wow.
Yes. This Food Network outrated CNN. So Scott Jennings is on here and he's talking about something that everybody is talking about, certainly on X and in conversations like radio shows, like ours, sports people, culture people, politics people are having these conversations. Caitlin Clark was named the athlete of the year by Time Magazine. Let's see here. This is a Fox News report. It says, in her discussion with Time, Clark seemed to agree with Wilson to an extent. Clark said, I want to say I've earned every single thing, but as a white person, there is privilege. A lot of those players in the league that have been really good have been black players. This league has kind of been built on them. The more we can appreciate that, highlight that, talk about that, and then continue to have brands and companies invest in those players that have made this league incredible, I think it's very important. I have to continue to try to change that. The more we can elevate black women, that's going to be a beautiful thing. Listen, Caitlin Clark's presence in the WNBA will elevate these black players because people are paying attention to the WNBA for the first time. And listening to those people challenge Scott Jennings, Scott Jennings is saying, listen, people are watching the NBA, WNBA now. They weren't watching it before. I'm looking this up right now. The NBA provides the WNBA with financial support in a few ways. The annual endowment to the WNBA by the men who play in the NBA is annually $15 million. Why are they sending $15 million over to the WNBA? To help cover operating costs like travel, facilities, marketing, and administration. Any functional business on their own should at minimum be able to cover operating costs. The WNBA has not been able to do that. More on that, the NBA and the WNBA are in negotiations for media rights deals that could bring in more than $7 billion per year. The WNBA expects to receive around $200 million per year from these deals. Ownership. The NBA owns about 60% of the WNBA, while the 12 WNBA teams own the remaining 40%. The WNBA has historically lost money, with some estimates saying it will lose around $50 million in 2024. That was their successful year. $50 million that they will lose in 2024, according to estimates. However, the league's revenue has doubled since 2019, and the WNBA had its most watched regular season in 24 years at the end of September. So, what happened this year? Caitlin Clark happened this year. Caitlin Clark is a white girl. Caitlin Clark cannot help that she's a white girl. The majority of players in the WNBA happen to be black girls. There is a skin color cultural divide in our country. But Caitlin Clark, by happenstance, has the talent that she has been blessed with, has now made it into the WNBA, and has brought attention to this thing that nobody cared about before, and I'm one of them. And I played varsity basketball through my senior year of high school. I was a player. I coached girls basketball. I did not know anything about the WNBA before this year. I watched Iowa college basketball like the rest of the country. We watched the women's college championship and not the men's college championship. Who was in the men's college championship last year?
I don't remember.
It's a UConn.
Oh, yeah. And Purdue.
Purdue.
People didn't watch it. Who was in the women's?
There was Iowa and, oh, I can't think of the lady's name.
She's South Carolina. South Carolina. And South Carolina won, but only, what if you ask anybody those questions, what do they remember? They remember that Caitlin Clark was in the women's championship. And then they probably remember that she was wearing a jersey from Iowa and that it was the Hawkeyes. That's what people remember. So she is a phenom. She is a once-in-a-lifetime player. She will transform the WNBA. She happens to be white, but just for the same reason that she can't help that she's not black, she also can't help that she's white. I'm watching on X all of these people who are conservative commentators with all of their hot takes. They're throwing Caitlin Clark away right now because she said there is privilege. Did you see the beginning of her statement where she said, I want to say I've earned every single thing? That's how she started her comments. Now, if you've watched her games, she gets the sugar kicked out of her every time she plays. It's filthy. It's dirty. It's nasty. She gets trucked over, and then the other players laugh at her. And they joke about it. And the media doesn't hold them accountable because there's some sort of race thing going on here, and it's not just basketball. What is Caitlin Clark supposed to do? She cannot solve the problem of, A, racial inequality and disparity, if you think that's what the problem is. And she cannot also solve the problem of her whiteness just now being okay with everybody, because it's not going to be okay with everybody that she's white. Caitlin Clark is a really phenomenal generational basketball talent, and it is not Caitlin Clark's job to toe the line every time she gets the opportunity to speak on something to appease the masses and the asses that are out there trying to pressure her to be in the right cultural moment all the time. She can't possibly do that. What she can continue to do is show up and kill it every time she gets the opportunity to put a basketball in her hands. And she did that the whole time. She is a white, heterosexual female in the WNBA, and she would be the most sought-after player for anybody, for any team. If they could bring Caitlin Clark onto their team, they would want to. Not even because of her basketball skill, but because of the dollars that she brings in the door. Every single owner out there would want her on that team. She's named Athlete of the Year. In the midst of all of this controversy that's going around, what is she supposed to say? Do you want Caitlin Clark, who just happens to be an amazing basketball player, to go to Time and say, yeah, I'm white, and I'm proud to be white, and all these people who are treating me bad because I'm white, I'm sick and tired. Like, what is she supposed to say in that moment?
She's trying to play basketball, and she's caught up in all of the midst of this nonsense. I mean, it's unfortunate because she's a terrific basketball player. She has broken every NCAA record. That's why people pay attention to her. She has broken even the male records for scoring. That's once in a generation. So when you capture people's attention like that, regardless of race, people kind of cling to you and they go, oh, yeah, this is a once in a generation player. Kind of like Michael Jordan or LeBron James. These people don't come along very often. And so when they do, you better, as a league, embrace them because they lift your league up. The example of the NBA is a good one because you're talking about the same sport. If these racist people who will only watch the WNBA because they have a white girl are also watching the NBA because that's not racist, though, it makes no sense.
Dan says on YouTube, Caitlin Clark just went woke. She lost me as a fan. Dan, she didn't go woke. She said the first thing she says is that, I want to say I've earned every single thing. And then she says, but as a white person, there is privilege. It is different to live in this world and in this country when you're a white person and when you're a black person. It's unrealistic to think that there are differences. In the same way that you guys walking down the street at 9 p.m. in St. Louis versus me walking down at 9 p.m. Down the street in St. Louis, we are going to have different thoughts and fears in our mind. If you're walking by yourself and if you're walking with your wife, you have different thoughts and feelings in your mind. We have different experiences, and there's nothing wrong with calling that out. And Caitlin Clark, as a basketball player, does not owe the cancel culture and the DEI wokesters of the world. She doesn't owe them anything, and she also doesn't owe us anything. What she needs to do is go continue to kick ass at playing basketball every single opportunity she gets, and then we who have the opportunity to buy her jersey, to buy her shoes, if she ever gets those shoes finally printed out, which she doesn't have a shoe deal, she has a shoe deal, but she doesn't have a shoe yet because I think they wanted Aja Wilson, who is a black female, to get her shoe out first. I don't understand why these companies hate money right now, because my daughter would have Caitlin Clark shoes on her feet right now if they were out there to buy. Because she appreciates her. She respects her. But Caitlin Clark is not in this business to solve the culture of woke and DEI. And we cannot live happy lives constantly putting entertainers and putting athletes to our test and our standards when that's not the business they're in, and just write off everything that they've done to contribute to entertainment, to society, to culture, whatever. This is not a harmful statement. What she said is not a harmful statement. She did not set white people or black people or female basketball players back at all by this. And when she gets back on the court, she's going to continue to elevate all of the things that people have liked about Caitlin Clark. Number one being, she's an amazing basketball player. We are unburdened by what has been in the culture wars of years gone by because Donald Trump just won the election. Those days are over. We don't have to be miserable because somebody somewhere that we will never meet, that will never have some sort of actual real impact outside of the fact that it's going to be amazing to watch her continue to do work on the basketball floor over and over again. That is the service she provides us. We don't have to be miserable in people not measuring up to our side of the woke, anti-woke culture all the time. It is a miserable place to be. Unburden yourself by that. You guys could completely disagree with me. I don't know. But I just think that we, on our side of this DEI woke issue, we're so much the beat dog that the second something comes by, we feel like we gotta lash out and lash back, and we don't have to do it.
I thought her comments were unfortunate. I also, though, immediately went, man, she's just trying to get out of this place that she's in.
And she's not going to.
She's not going to. And Scott Jennings is right. The more you do it, the more people are going to demand it from you. So I loathe to think what's coming of asking her to continue to make these statements and ask her to follow up on what you just said, because she's obviously she's ignited something again. I just wish that she would say, look, I'm here to play basketball.
Yeah.
Like, don't comment on it at all.
That's what she has been saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what she's been saying up to this point. And she gets named. She's the white girl on the Time Athlete of the Year. You know, like, duh, of course she is. Of course she is that. And then she gets put in this position where she gets asked these questions again. She wasn't on Team USA.
It's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. It is unbelievable.
What she is up against, what she doesn't need is us to go, well, that wasn't anti-woke enough. I quit supporting you. This does not qualify.
She had done such a good job of staying out of it. That's what's unfortunate.
She's staying out of it. She is an athlete, not an activist, and her track record shows that. She just wants to play basketball, and the only reason we've ever heard anything about this, because you haven't heard anything about her say anything about any of this in anything leading up to this point in her entire run through college into the WNBA and all the success she's had. You don't hear about it until she's Times Athlete of the Year and the Times article asks her and she does an interview. She actually goes into an interview about this because she won this award. She just wants to play basketball, and I have no doubt in my mind that that's where she's at.
And golf.
Okay. But it's such a small phrase. And if we're as conservatives, if we got upset with LeBron James and we wanted him to quote unquote shut up and dribble, if that's what we want from our athletes, then we can't be out there expecting our other athletes that we wanted to be on our side or whatever, somebody out there just balling, to start quoting their own and championing your cause just because it's your cause. Either you want your athletes to be athletes or you want your athletes to be activists. Just let them be athletes.
Phenom says, woke just needs to go away. I feel she's between a rock and a hard place. I do too. Chris says, sorry, Annie. I do disagree with you. She bent the knee. I see a lot of that bent the knee stuff. I completely disagree with that. And I don't, you know, I have a feeling that there are more people listening to me right now who think I'm super wrong on this. So it'd be easy for me to not say it, but I'm not going to not say it.
That's okay.
I want to push back on it. And some people, what I want to do, which you do not need, is I want to give you permission to not care. To not feel like you, I guess I can't like Caitlin Clark now. That's ridiculous.
It doesn't matter.
We got to go to, we're so far past. Yeah. Sorry. Do you have more to say?
Not really. I mean, I was disappointed to see it because it looks like caving to pressure because she had never said anything up until now. So
being disappointed in it, and I understand that, and I kind of feel the same, like, oh, you did it.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
Being disappointed and saying I will no longer support her because she bent the knee, those are two different things.
Yeah.
All right. We'll be back with the other important news of the day was Thomas Whitmore of Independence Day, Republican president.
Yeah, we're just getting to this now.
Or a Democrat president. We had to lead up to it to make sure that we had. OK.
And the movie came out in 1994.
Yes. So it's time.
You know, we got to get to it.
We'll be right back.
You think I'm crying on my own while I
This am. Is the Annie Fry Show.
And I didn't want to write a song because I didn't want.
Well, we have two conversations to have before we wrap up this show. The first one is about President Thomas Whitmore from Independence Day, one of America's greatest presidents.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
He led us through really what was our toughest hour.
We might need him back. We've got things going on.
Not just our Independence Day.
Don't you feel like the beginning of Independence Day when stuff was starting to happen that they were doing exactly what we're doing right now?
I don't know what that means.
With the drones.
No, I don't remember. Tell me what happens at the beginning of the movie. I don't remember.
Everyone's like, hey, there are things in the sky. This seems like a problem. And then morons are running to the top of buildings that get blown up later. It's just probably not going to happen now. Probably not.
Government aides aren't telling the president the whole truth.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Ooh.
I'm going to have to go back and watch this.
I have a feeling we're spurring a lot of people to watch Independence Day this weekend.
Yeah.
Regardless, was President Thomas Whitmore, Bill Pullman's character, was he a Republican or a Democrat? Is it obvious to you?
I remember watching the movie and wondering which party he was from. Which suggests to me that he's probably a Republican because he didn't wear his convictions on his sleeve.
He wasn't worried about how the aliens would affect the climate?
You know what? That to me, though, that's projecting current Democrats onto 90s Democrats.
Well, Goldblum's character is all worried about the environment.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, and so I'm not saying that didn't exist, but I think there are... In 1994, if you watched a movie and there was not subtle hints, even now, if you watch a movie and there's not subtle hints as to which party somebody is and it's a political thing.
They're Republican.
They're probably Republican.
They're moderate Republican. Well, right. That's the only good kind.
I would say Jeff Goldblum's character is a liberal in that movie.
For sure.
And he gets very upset when his wife goes to work for Whitmore's association and campaign. And they end up getting a divorce over it.
My gosh, I don't remember any of this.
They didn't get divorced over policy, Brad.
Are you sure?
Yes.
That seemed like a real side note to that movie that I do not remember.
They had policy disagreements, but they didn't get divorced over the fact that she wasn't green enough. She spent all her time on the campaign with him, and he suspected they were having an affair.
Was that maybe in the special features where they went through all the divorce proceedings?
They never talked about policy, but I mean, come on. How long is a liberal going to stay with his wife if she's working for
kids,
the other
can
side?
Can you imagine the 90s, the credit scenes at the end? It's their
arguing.
Proceeding.
They cut a good 30 minutes out of that movie.
It's too bad.
It was just paperwork.
And they put them all in Independence Day Resurgence.
Yeah.
But nobody knows because
right.
Nobody saw it. It was terrible. All right, so I Googled this and I didn't find the thread that I thought was on Reddit, was actually on a message board that is publicly accessible called Tiger Droppings.
Okay.
But it's an LSU affiliated thing.
Okay. So they're message dropping board. Information.
Yes. And they're LSU Tigers.
But regardless, this is on a message board. And the question posed to the message board was, unanswerable question, what party did Thomas J. Whitmore belong to? So I'm just going to read to you some of the things that they collected, some of the information that they collected, that the president who gives the "Today we celebrate our Independence Day" speech, right after the guy who says, "I'm a pilot, I can fly," then we hear this wonderful patriotic speech and they save the world. Is this guy Republican or Democrat? Because I do think it matters, and we should have talked about this almost 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm. It's time, high time we catch up.
30 years ago. 1996. Mm,
man.
Is when.
Oh, 96? Mm-hmm. Oh, I kept saying 94. Okay.
Yeah, you were prescient in that regard. First one, first comment says.
I was precious, is what you said.
Prescient. Don't get confused. Wasn't he from California? Democrat. And that's okay. It's a movie.
So was Reagan.
Well. Go on. The next one says, I must have missed the part where it stated he's from California. I've always taken him to be a New York Rockefeller Republican.
Okay.
Another one says, if anything, he's having trouble with the polls in California. That lends more credence to him being a Republican. A comment says, I thought his wife was doing an event in their home state when the invasion hit. I may have been incorrect, because they were separated. Mm-hmm. They weren't at the same place. That's when he calls her and says he's laying next to a beautiful blonde, which is their like adorable four-year-old girl.
Right.
Who went on to be one May, I think was her name, or maybe that's her real name. May. The little girl in Independence Day went on to be one of the main characters in Parenthood, the show, which was successful. She's done a lot of things since then. So the suggestion that they're from California lends some people to just automatically default that they are Democrats. But the thought that he's having trouble with support because they're talking about in Independence Day when he's reading the papers and they're watching the news and stuff, they're not really too happy for him. Somebody says also the Foxy Black stripper, quote, voted for the other guy. So I'd say he's likely a Republican. Is that fair?
Who voted for the other guy?
Vivica A. Fox.
Yeah.
When she's helping the first lady in the wreckage at...
That makes sense.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
This person posts, he was definitely Republican given a few context clues. Number one, he's a war hero.
Hmm. Okay.
Number two, his Secretary of Defense is clearly an establishment neocon. Who's the a-hole of the thing where at the end where he's like, you're fired. And he's like, you can't do that. And then she says, oh, he just did.
That's right.
You remember that?
Wasn't the first lady in that movie?
Oh, wait, that's not the Secretary of Defense is the good guy. The other guy, he's like the maybe CIA guy. He's the one who says plausible deniability.
Yeah.
The Secretary of Defense is the one who says to Will Smith that whole place, hasn't anyone told you this whole place has been destroyed? Do you remember that?
Not really.
He's always wearing the military.
Okay.
That's the Secretary of Defense. I got that confused. Third one is his closest friend slash advisor is part of the military establishment. The fourth one is the stripper from California, quote, voted for the other guy. And the fifth one says he was disliked by the establishment media. So they show a bunch of different places, especially at the beginning, where the media is really kind of crapping on him. And another person says media didn't like him, was in the military, probably a Republican, if I had to guess. Also, there's a brief moment where the lady on television says the American people elected a warrior and got a wimp. The media was trashing on him. And then the last comment I highlighted was regarding the sequel. Did you guys see Independence Day?
Mm-hmm. I did not.
Mm-hmm.
They said it makes Caddyshack 2 seem like The Empire Strikes Back.
When did that one come out?
2000.
And was anybody 16? In it?
A lot of them were.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they were all back in.
Oh, really?
I was so excited to see that movie, and I was like raging mad at how bad it was.
Okay, Jeff Goldblum and Bill Pullman are both in that movie.
Yeah, and so is Jeff Goldblum's father.
Vivica A. Fox.
Yeah, and she's a doctor this time.
Somebody said that... Somebody commented about how people are suggesting that the stripper would be a Democrat. And they're like, but she goes on to be a doctor and wealthy, and maybe she doesn't want high taxes, so maybe she was a Republican all along. I don't know.
Well, you know, people switch parties.
Yeah, all the time.
So,
Republican or Democrat? What do you think?
I think Republican. Yeah, I would have said Republican before hearing all of those little nuggets.
Mostly because they didn't say that he was a Democrat.
Mostly, mm-hmm. And because that movie is very patriotic. I know they're saying that it's Independence Day for the world and all that, and that's very globalist.
But America saves the world.
But it's an American movie. It's a very American-centered, like, American bravado movie. And that seems like a very 90s kind of
It's a very Maverick-like movie where it's just an amazing story with characters who are from all walks of life doing all sorts of things that love their country and love a greater cause and are willing to fight for it and win in the end.
Remember when Data is in that room and the alien speaking through him? And the alien...
Release me.
Yeah, release me. And then they're like, what do you want from us? And he's like,
die.
I'm like, oh no, that's so scary when I was 14.
Bill Pullman says, I saw his thoughts. Yeah. And then he says, let's nuke the B words.
Oh, he does?
Yeah.
Can I watch it with my kids now?
Yeah.
You think they're going to be scared by the aliens, though? I do.
Just emphasize that he was a Republican president.
Okay.
And everything is going to be okay.
Kids, don't worry about this. The Republicans are in charge.
Bill Pullman, Donald Trump, same guy. Totally, it's everything's fine.
I just want you to know, President Whitmore, right after the end of this movie, son, he drains the swamp.
He had to. It was contaminated with alien goo.
It brings the world together.
Is there a better scene than the wreckage after Will Smith and Jeff Goldblum are strutting with their cigars with the fireworks in the air because all the alien ships and all their little drones that are now over New Jersey, they're all just like blowing up in the background.
Yeah. Man, the scene that they when they blow up the White House, I remember being like, how dare they? That's not okay.
Yeah.
We need to kill them.
I don't like that scene. There's also, what's the movie? Is it like The Day After Tomorrow or something where the Statue of Liberty was part of the scene?
Yeah.
The Statue of Liberty is turned over in the water.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was because of climate change, though.
Planet Earth.
How was the president in that one? Probably a Republican. That's what all happened.
I don't remember. I John Cusack's in that movie, isn't he? After Tomorrow?
Tracks. Yeah.
It's all... That movie is great to watch now and watch how ridiculous...
Is it a comedy now?
It was borderline comedy when it came out.
Speaking of movies, our YouTube live chat poll for today, which of the cast's favorite Christmas movies is the best? Should we come clean on whose video is who here while we get close to Ethan giving us the results?
I think we should wait till 251.
251? How about now?
Okay, now, yeah. Let's do it.
Ethan, why don't you set this poll up for us? You've kind of outed yourself already here in taking great offense to Doug earlier, who said that Christmas Story was trash.
Yeah, Doug, what the heck, man? Low blow, guy. Which of the cast's favorite Christmas movies is the best? We've got over 250 votes so far, so get your votes in here these final couple of minutes.
Why don't you advocate for A Christmas Story, which I have never seen before?
So
tell me why I should see it.
It's a classic. I mean, I think that like there are, you know, a handful of Christmas movies. I think that if you're a fan of the Christmas season, which most people I feel like are, you need to have at least watched them once, you know? And I think all four of these movies fit into that. I think that A Christmas Story is worthy of at least watching once. If you are a fan of if you're a fan of funny, then it works there.
Do you think if for somebody who is watching it for the first time, i.e. me, potentially, this weekend with my kids, are my kids going to enjoy it still? Would I enjoy it still?
It's
the first time in 2024.
It is one that I grew up on it, but I would say the older I've gotten, the more I've grown to appreciate it. Like, I always thought it was a good movie, but the more you start to get of, like, some of the references, I wouldn't say it's inappropriate. There's definitely there's a couple of scenes where
I watched Austin Powers with my older two kids.
Yeah, they'll be fine. They'll be totally fine.
Are there any of the movies on this list, Ethan, that you don't like?
No.
Seen them all?
I think that all these movies are great. I think that I would say that, especially with It's a Wonderful Life, that's another one where the older I've gotten, the more I've grown to appreciate it. Actually, growing up, I was like, oh my gosh, this movie's so boring.
Black and white.
Put me to sleep. Like, let me go play my PlayStation 2.
And now when he says the richest man in town, you're like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, he gets his wings. Yep. This is so sweet. Fun fact, the boob guns from Austin Power were actually inspired by A Christmas Story.
We'll say the melon guns.
Man, the audible... Yeah. Facepalm from Brad was right on the mark.
No, you're doing so well.
It was in the scene where the brother is driving the blimp and he goes, hey, a Zeppelin!
I've never seen it, so I don't know what you're talking about or if you're joking. So, Ryan, of these videos, these Christmas movie classics, which one's yours And do you think that it holds up now the way it did when it was originally made?
I do. Home Alone is mine. My brother, who's 8 years younger than me, would watch Home Alone almost every day in the summers when he was, so he's quite a bit younger than me. He would just watch it. So I know it line by line. And now my kids do that to an extent at Christmas time. It's still an enjoyable movie.
My kids have a lot of questions because technology just doesn't allow for Home Alone to be made in 2024. Right. But it is still fun to look back on. Are any of these movies that aren't yours, A Christmas Story, Christmas Vacation, or It's a Wonderful Life, bad movies in your mind?
No. I like all these movies.
What about you, Brad?
My movie was Christmas Vacation because I think it's a great story. It's about a dad trying to create Christmas memories and having a great Christmas, not just for his kids, but for his whole family. And then it's surrounded by comedy, which is one of my favorite things.
I started to say when I was putting this together at home, my son is homesick today, and I said, oh, Christmas Vacation. I go, I don't know. I said, because I watched it last year for the first time, and I liked it way more than I thought I was going to like it. Just in the same way, Christmas Story, I'll watch this year. Die Hard, I watched last year for the first time. I guess this year it's A Christmas Story. But I'm like, Christmas Vacation, like, the movie is so stressful. Like, the whole movie is so stressful. And then I'm like, well, mine's It's a Wonderful Life. So I don't know that I can actually make that point on the air and have it stand on its own two feet. I guess it's a little different because Christmas Vacation is a very stressful comedy versus a Christmas It's a Wonderful Life, which is a stressful kind of, would you say drama, I guess?
Yeah, drama.
Is what it would be. Do we have, we'll play this here real quick. Which is the one, which is the clip here that you said a listener sent in? Is it in What I Miss or what?
Oh, yeah, it was What I Missed. It is the last one from Farming.
James had some thoughts on It's a Wonderful Life.
You have it all wrong. It's a Wonderful Life is the worst Christmas movie ever. Turner Classic Movies bought it for like $17 and they show it every year nonstop. Yeah. That's why people think they like it.
No.
The only award it ever won was the fake snowfall in the movie. It's a horrible movie.
All right, James, everybody's wrong once in a while. But when they filmed that whole movie, it was like blazing hot. And the snow, like, is not actual snow or whatever, but people were miserably hot filming that movie when it was going on. I, for one, have never really relied on the awards people who have bought and paid for to be like, this is what you like and this is what you don't like. I think they get it wrong a lot. And yes, it was a complete and total flop when it was first put out there. But people have come to know it as a classic. I am one of them. I love it. I love the story. And it is amazing when they say the richest man in town.
261 votes on today's YouTube live chat poll. Which of the cast's favorite Christmas movies is the best? Well, the majority still agree with you, Annie. 36% say It's a Wonderful Life. Silver medal to Christmas Vacation, 31%. Hey, I'll take the bronze. Christmas Story, 20%. And Home Alone at 13%.
Ah!
Three of four of these will be watched every holiday in my house, and A Christmas Story for the first time. And I will give you a report, Ethan, and tell you how I like it. We're going to watch it this weekend.
Sounds good.
Mark Reardon.